Hello, our listeners. Yes, you. Pat yourself on the back for being curious and for clicking or tapping on this episode of That's the Thing on Radio Azim Premji University. Three hosts, one thing, aur dher sare kahaniya. We take a thing jo bahut sare log samajhte ki ye to Hindustan se hai. But is it?
That's the thing.
That's the thing. Today, we are brewing something garam, something kadak, and something masaledar. I'm Kavya.
I'm Atharva, your chai sipping expert.
And I'm Jimmy, your chai cheta. Chaya chaya parampuri.
Oh my god, I love parampuri. All that ghee and the banana. Ooh, adipoli.
Chood aitathinana. Must eat piping hot straight from the fire to the mouth.
Looks like I'll have to bring this back on track, guys. It's about chai today, the world's second most consumed beverage.
Ek minute. Second most consumed, to pehla kaun sa hai?
Pani.
Obviously. Today we're talking tea, chai, chaya, chaha and tenir. Let's spill the tea on the history of tea.
So, chai mein kya hai? Pani, patte aur peelings, right?
That's nice. The three P's to make teas. Pani, patte aur peelings. It actually starts with this plant, Camellia sinensis. It's a shrub from the jungles near the Indo-China border. So apparently people, they rubbed its leaves on their wounds and they also chewed it like paan to get its medicinal benefits.
What were they chewing it for?
You know, for energy. Camellia sinensis apparently has a lot of caffeine, which when you chew it, it gives you a burst of focus.
Mm.
And it apparently made them feel tingly when they chewed those leaves. और उनको ये फीलिंग बहुत अच्छा लगता था. By the 4th century BCE, the Chinese were farming tea, not just taking it from wherever it grew. So they had books and all teaching people how to brew tea correctly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So just for context, this was about 2,300 years ago.
Wow.
Then Buddhist monks got their hands on it in the 6th century. They brewed it for meditation. I mean, nothing like a good chai for concentration, no?
That's right. Every 10th grader, 12th grader studying for their boards knows this.
Correct.
But you know, by the way, fun fact. So Lao Tzu called tea an ingredient in the elixir of life.
And Lao Tzu is who?
So Lao Tzu is a Chinese philosopher who founded a branch of Chinese philosophy called Taoism.
Just miss. It would have been so cool if he'd called it not Taoism, but Teaism, right? China.
Ayyoh.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay, anyway, fast forward to the Tang Dynasty in China in 619 CE. So this is like the golden age of tea. And here, under the Tang Dynasty's rule, it became the national beverage.
Hey, wait a minute. Imagine if India had a national beverage. Chai hota ya lassi? Or rasna?
Please, Jim. We are clearly a chai nation. It's like not even a contest. The data doesn't lie. We consume 120 crores kgs. 120 crore kgs of tea in a year.
Eh, kafi nahi hai.
Ya ke?
Nam population yeshto, 143 crores. What's 120 crore kgs of tea for that size of population, Kavya?
Okay, wait. Let's look at this another way, okay? 30% of the tea produced in the world, in the whole world, is consumed in India.
But,
Hey, Jimmy, you think chai shouldn't be the national beverage or what?
I mean, of course I do.
Then why are you arguing with Kavya?
Every mazay le raha tha.
Let's also talk about chai coming home, finally to India. So, tea shrubs already existed in Assam, but the British apparently discovered them in 1823.
Okay, you don't know what Atharva did. He put the air quotes around discovered because discovered them, like classic European behavior, na? Let's steal this and call it ours. Chura ke dil mera.
Exactly, Jimmy.
Goriya.
Well done.
Thank you.
And this man, Robert Bruce, found the locals in Assam brewing tea from wild bushes. And he got some leaves. But guess what? He died before anything came of it. But his brother Charles, he picked up the leaves, sent them to Calcutta, and boom, tea plantations started popping up everywhere.
So first in Assam in 1837, in Darjeeling by the 1850s, and by the 1870s, Darjeeling was making the fancy stuff, basically the Karan Johar of tea.
Meanwhile, Assam tea was the Nawazuddin Siddiqui.
Ooh.
It was strong, reliable, and perfect for any kind of setting.
But you know, the history of tea is not quite so happy. I mean, there is like a dark side to it. It just like with everything under the British, right? The British used indentured laborers to run the tea plantations.
Okay, so I've heard this term like indentured labor and vaguely know what it means. But exactly, heck yeah, indentured labor.
See, let's say you owe me money, Jim. Okay. But instead of letting you pay me money in cash, like giving you wages, you come and work for me, do everything, wash dishes, so clean clothes, everything.
I pay you in kind of.
Yeah, okay. Except that you don't get to decide, no, when you're done repaying.
Oh.
And so you're giving me your work and I'm using that as an exchange for money, but I decide when you're done.
Sounds like slavery to me.
Yeah, it is, man. Pretty much. It was a horrible time for the workers. People were beaten up for breaking contracts. They had to live in these barracks, these tiny little like living quarters. They could not marry without getting permission.
What?
Madhwe madak permission bekagito from the British. Entire wow. families worked for inhumane wages, like nothing. They would encourage childbearing because the children would become plantation workers. There is this human cost to tea, this story of tea that is, you know, steeped in so much sorrow and pain. It's really important for us to remember that while we talk about how much we love chai. Also, it
true.
Comes from somewhere.
We must remember the history.
That's and true.
I work with a lot of folk musicians, and one of my friends, Uttam Dashbal, worked with a folk musician called Kali Dashgupta.
Okay.
And Kali Dashgupta is a very interesting man. He was working in West Bengal and he would go to different workers' group and collect their songs.
Oh.
And these are called Chabagan songs.
বাবু ভাইয়ার ছানাপোনা সাহেব লোকেদের বাচ্চারা স্কুলে যেত, কিন্তু এই যে দিন মজুরদের বাচ্চারা সারাদিন লেবারের কাজ, চাইল্ড লেবারের কাজ করানো হতো, সেইগুলো তাদের গানের মধ্যে এসছে। মানে এই যে যন্ত্রণাগুলো, তারা বিভিন্ন গানে এই প্রতিবাদ কিন্তু গানের মধ্যে তারা করেছে।
Oh my God, that was beautiful. And really puts into perspective everything that actually goes into that perfect cup of chai sitting in our hands. And that definition of perfect actually can be very different from one person to another.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know that tea, all tea, white, green, black, they come from the same plant?
Jimmy, you're telling me it's all marketing.
That also. And difference in how it's processed. So white tea is unoxidized, green tea is lightly oxidized, and black tea is fully oxidized, which is all very scientific. And I'll tell you, I was very insulted, okay, when I went to this chai making factory in Munnar. So the lady took us through the entire process of how it is plucked and processed and all of that. And then she said, you know, we actually send the good tea abroad, tea leaves.
Are you serious?
Yes. And only the stem and all of that that is left behind, we crush that and we sell it as tea leaves to the local.
Oh my God.
Because apparently the processing cost of that tea is so much more, and only the foreigners really appreciate the value and are willing to pay for it. So that's why if you actually look at most of your teas, there are no leaves in it. Yeah. They just look like these little round balls or tea dust, because they're not putting the leaves in there. I was like damn insulted. I was like, bro, not cool at all.
Yeah. That is not cool. This is making me feel like we should be growing a small tea plant. I have a tiny balcony. Okay, wait, hang on. Let me give you some context. I have a really tiny balcony in my house. You guys have seen it.
Yeah.
It has a singular chili plant.
Right.
And one bougainvillea that has had no flowers.
How do you know it's a bougainvillea then?
Well, my mom-in-law says it is. So we're just taking it at face value.
Okay.
I feel like a tea bush. We yeah. just pick it and then we just, you know, we have to dry it. We'll figure that out. We'll get there.
Soil condition.
Yeah. Weather. You know, I got to do some work.
Okay.
You got to do some work, right? And that's chai though. Yeah. I mean, you make chai. What's your process?
Of making chai?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a science to it?
I don't think there's science, bro. It feels like magic. Every time I make chai, I am praying also while making chai.
That it comes out?
It should come out, one, looking the perfect color.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is what? Is it dark brown, light brown? What is your perfect color?
Athar was imagining it, but he can't tell the listeners.
I'll tell you. It is slightly light dirt brown. See, the thing is, I don't like a lot of milk in my chai.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like a slightly watered down, but strong chai, like strongly brewed chai. So, but I also like it sweet.
So I've been running this experiment in my house whenever visitors come. So I...
Guinea pigs.
No. The opposite. I'm like, if you had to teach me how to brew tea, how would you do it?
Oh.
So I'm getting all my friends' hacks.
And it's a scam. Basically, you don't want to make the tea for them. You're saying, I'm trying to learn. You come to my kitchen and make for me.
I would like to make the tea. But I have really fussy friends. Like one person in this recording studio who will not drink the tea that I make, but just pushes me out of the way. Who do you think that is, Athar?
I wonder who that is.
Who could it be? Could it be Jimmy Xavier?
Jimmy's so old, he's getting memory loss.
Oh my God, we're back to memory jokes again. Gee, terrible, you guys.
But so wait, hang on. My family on principle hates tea bags. They don't consider it real tea. And they kind of look down on people who... They are very snooty?
Snooty snobby.
Snooty snobby. That's what happened to my... Did you know that tea bags were invented by accident?
No.
Yeah. In 1908, this guy sent samples in silk bags. And people were like, oh, I guess this is it now. And they just chuck it into the glass.
Man, and that's...
That's how we have tea bags today.
Lazy innovation is the best kind of innovation.
And now we have to do some hard work innovation. So from silk, that became plastic. And then loads of microplastics. No?
Yeah.
Hajar, not hajar, thousands. Thousands is hajar, sorry.
Millions.
Millions. Millions of microplastics in your tea bag every time you dip it into your tea. So there's this one Indian trying to solve the microplastics in tea bags problem. Let's listen to him. I have Upamanyu with me. You have created something called Woola Teas. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. That's correct. So Woola means happiness in Assamese.
What I've noticed interestingly about your teas are that they're not in bags. Is that correct?
Yes, it's completely bagless.
Okay, so because it is not in a bag, it has to be a tea leaf and not tea powder, because otherwise you can't string it together.
No, actually, we are solving a lot of other problems as well.
All right. Tell us.
A single tea bag releases more than 1,100 crore microplastics in a cup of tea. Secondly, what goes into tea bag is tea dust. So we humans have, started consuming tea bags just for the sake of the convenience.
Okay.
So that's the reason why we have whole leaf. When you have whole leaf, you have a lot more nutrition in your cup.
Right.
When compared to the tea dust. Tea dust are generally the leftovers of a tea production bag.
Yeah, all your stems and all of that, right?
Woola, so cool. So Woola is a company based in Assam, which brings me to something cool. You know that they have a separate time zone for tea plantations.
What? Really?
Yeah. Can you guess what it's called based off of this?
PST.
Okay.
AST.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
NEST. Nest.
What's Nest?
You know, it's this thing where birds lay their eggs.
Jimmy!
And... Okay.
What do you think it is?
Okay. NEST is Northeast Standard Time.
Okay. All right. Wait. Do you want a hint? Just think back to Uttamda and what he was talking about.
Okay.
Anything?
Is it BST?
No. What's BST?
Bagan
Standard Time.
Oh, that's really close though. Oh. Because it is Cha Bagan Time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bagan means garden in Bangla, just in case you didn't know.
And Cha Bagan means tea garden. And so Chabagan time was, surprise, surprise, started by the British.
And it's still around?
It's still around. And actually, the reason it's around is because in the East, the sun rises an hour early. And so it becomes dark as well. Oh. So the British instituted Chabagan time so that the tea workers would have more time in the plantations. So you're increasing productivity, but you're also saving power that you're using because lesser lights and you're using the daylight more.
Right. I'm actually a fan of time zones. Or Bharat itna bada hai, time zones hone chahiye na?
Yeah.
That's true. Time zones the bhai. Isiliye jab bhi kisi clock app mein you go to choose the time zone, aapko do time zone milte hain, Kolkata aur Mumbai. So Kolkata was 5 hours 53 minutes ahead of GMT, whereas Mumbai was 4 hours 51 minutes ahead of GMT. And apparently there was also a third time, Chennai, so that's Madras, was 5 hours 21 minutes ahead of GMT.
No wonder. Ye to maine dekha hai, par kuch research nahi kiya. It makes sense now. I think it makes sense to revert to those three times, yeah? Kolkata, Mumbai and Madras, and they should be called Kist, Mist and Sist.
Oh boy.
Hey God, Akave, that was a good one.
It just doesn't work. I agree with you on the time zone thing. I just don't think they need an acronym.
Fine, be like that. So, that was Chabagan time. And there is a reason why it's called cha in some places and tea in others.
Oh my God, this is my favorite
part. Yeah, so, chai ka origin kahan hai?
China mein.
China mein nahi. China.
Oh,
that was just waiting to be said. Well done, Atharva, on jumping in first mover advantage. So, kahani wahan se shuru hoti hai. Chai, China se bahar nikla do raaston se. One by land and one by sea. Now, the areas from which it went out via land, there the dialect spoken was Mandarin. And in that dialect, the pronunciation was cha. So, Bharat, Japan, Central Asia, Arabia mein, ye cha ya chai ho gaya. Ek aur route tha, aur wo tha via sea. Now, un areas mein, the dialect spoken was something called Minnan. So, it's a coastal area dialect. Aur us dialect mein, it was pronounced te or te.
Okay.
So, England, France, Germany mein, it's pronounced ti, te. Tea, etc. It's like, ek minute. Agar jhadu India se export hota and the exporters interacted with people who spoke standard Hindi, they would learn it as jhadu.
Okay.
Lekin agar koi UP Bihar se export karta and the exporter spoke with the people there, they would learn the word as supni.
Oh.
So that's how we got those variations. Cha in some places and tea in others.
So, the land route and the sea route.
Sea route, correct. Got it.
Which is so cool. So, there's variations in the names of the thing, but there's also actually variations in the thing, right? In chai.
Matlab?
Matlab different kinds of chai preparations.
Ah, okay. Like you mean like masala, adrak, Suleimani, that
oh
kind of thing.
Oh my God. I love Suleimani.
My favorite is Suleimani.
So, Suleimani is from Kerala. And the legend has it, like the story behind it is that apparently, Prophet Muhammad used to drink something called ghava.
Okay.
Which is made from dates, black pepper, different spices. And that is kind of where Suleimani comes from. And that is why it's called Suleimani. Because Suleimani comes from Suleiman, which is Arabic for a man of peace.
Oh, no wonder. There's that sense of calm that flows through you when you drink Suleimani.
Yeah.
And to answer your original question, Kavya, of how many different type of preparations there are, so we now have tea parlors and menus that look so exotic. Actually, itne sare preparations hai, I think we can safely categorize them into milk and non-milk.
Correct, I agree.
Yeah.
And in the milk version, someone tried a variation in Nama Uru Bengaluru called Teefi.
Yeah, tea and coffee.
Yes.
This is an extreme delicacy in West Bengal.
Delicacy?
Yeah, like when I went there, when I went to meet Uttamda, he would make Teefi as like a special treat for me. And the first time I was like, what is this? And then you really, I'm going to tell you, it grows on you.
Maybe that teefi that he gave you must have been extreme good quality because the teefi that I had one sip and I was like, this is going down the drain. Immediately.
Wait, so none of you have talked about iced tea yet. Which
Love iced tea.
Great, I love iced tea as well.
That peach flavored, straight out of the powder packet.
Yeah,
there is not one naturally.
I'm sorry, I'm on the lemon flavor side of things.
Okay.
I feel like lemon adds that kind of zing to the otherwise sweetness of the iced tea.
No, so iced tea used to exist. Like in the 1820s, they had iced tea.
Okay.
But like, it was kind of in and out. in 1904, Richard Blechden was thinking, ki, how do you sell hot tea? Because it is summer, right, who's buying hot tea? And so he poured it on ice and it started selling like hot cakes.
You mean cold cakes, right?
That's the one. During 1920s and 30s in the US, there was a prohibition era. So there was no alcohol at this point. And so people were like, what do you serve at parties if there's no alcohol? And they began serving iced tea. That's why it took off.
So Kavya, you're basically saying that iced tea was also had in groups, large gatherings of people and at parties, right?
Yes.
Okay, so do you think normal tea, like hot tea, was ever like a social activity? An activity for a group of people like them? Could there be chai pubs, chai khanas?
Yeah, well, chai khana as an establishment is basically an Irani tea stall.
Okay.
And Irani Zoroastrians were fleeing Iran when they were being persecuted there. So this was happening between like 1794 to like the 1920s, almost 1925. And they came into India.
So you're saying the Parsis of Bombay helped them?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, you come here to a new land, you're a refugee, you've left with literally just the clothes on your back. What do you do? Right? You want to be independent. You want to feel ki, like I'm doing something right now. And so they started to set up these small cafes and bakeries.
Are you talking about the Irani cafes?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
We've been to Irani cafe together.
Yes, we have. In Pune, right? Actually. Yes.
And there you kind of go in, you meet other people. It's a space where community happens. Like artists come to discuss there because the chai is inexpensive and the ideas are flowing. It's just, I mean, I love Irani cafes.
So what was your favorite item to eat at the Irani cafe?
This is a no-brainer, but I love ban maska. I can eat. Yeah, ban maska is the best.
Okay, now here's the thing. Do you remember we got ban maska back from Atharva and he said, I don't like it? Do you remember that? The blasphemous.
We were both very upset and we ate it. So it was really a win-win situation all around.
Why didn't you like the ban maska?
But I prefer my ban maska to have some chocolate, some Nutella, something to offset that full buttery taste. It's a personal preference.
That's why you have the chai. You have the chai to offset the buttery taste.
I thought this was a judgment-free zone.
Mostly. But then sometimes when two of us are on one side, it becomes a judgment zone.
I'm changing the topic, okay?
Okay.
Do you think there are any tea world records?
See, just because you brought it up like that, I feel like you know of some world records and you want to share it with us. So just go for it, Atharva.
Okay, but me first. Okay. The largest cup of tea ever. 9,123 liters.
Okay, next. My turn. So, sabse bada tea party at a single venue. Guess where?
Let's see.
Wait.
China.
No. Maybe India. India.
You think it was indoor outdoor?
What does that mean?
Indoor.
Indoor. Yeah, exactly.
Well played. Well played.
It was in Indore.
And it makes sense because anything to do with population should be either Indian or Chinese. Like, how many people were there?
32,681 participants.
That's a lot of people. They chuma did or like...
No, there was a reason for it.
Yeah, to raise funds for the city's infrastructure.
Guys, this is what we need, guys.
What?
A tea party to fill potholes in Bangalore. Do you have more facts?
Yes, I have most expensive tea.
Okay, let's hear it.
I will spell it first before I attempt to pronounce it. P-U-E-R Hong Yin Yuan Cha.
So puer.
Puer. Hong Yin Yuan Cha, which is grown in Yunnan in China. And guess karo, aadha kilo ka kitna daam ho sakta hai.
Wait a minute. You're saying that the most expensive tea was grown in puer.
Oh. Okay.
Good catch, Julie. Good catch.
Okay, no.
Okay, so wait. You're asking how much is it for?
500 grams.
Oh, okay. For 500 grams. Okay. Let's see. About... a lakh?
Okay, that's your guess, Jimmy. What about you, Kavya?
So you're saying 500 grams is a lakh, is what you think,
yes.
Jim? Oh, come on. There's, you know, billionaires right now are like a global menace. I think that's way too low. I feel like it's 10 lakhs. 10 lakhs for 500 grams.
500 grams.
Both of you have missed it by a lot. It sells for 23.5 lakh for 500 grams.
OMG.
That's what? 47 lakhs for a kilo.
Yeah. And a cup would cost like 9,000 bucks.
Do we know why? Why is it so expensive?
So apparently, They are made from leaves harvested from ancient wild-growing tea trees in Yunnan and China. And these trees, some of them are over 1,000 years old, they give very limited quantities of leaves. So it's very rare, very highly sought after. It's a demand supply.
God.
And also the processing. Mm-hmm. This tea undergoes a very labor-intensive fermentation, aging process, which sometimes lasts decades.
Dude, just to make the tea takes decades.
That's right.
Wow. That checks out. So it's like whiskey or wine, like the vintage really matters.
Yeah, another alternative to alcohol.
Yeah.
That's the tree I want to plant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you like wait 1,000 years before you can see any useful...
In my 20th rebirth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one. Exactly.
Jimmy, you're a Christian.
Oh. That's not for a second saying that everybody can't believe whatever they want.
Oh my God, I'm terrible. Sorry. Terrible. And we are running out of time. So wrap question for the day.
Hmm.
If you had a chai kadai, chai shop anywhere in the world, where would you set it up?
Okay, so I have one. And the reason I have this is because I've been to this chai kadai. So last year I was in Bir in Himachal Pradesh with my friends, and I went paragliding, which is this insane thing. I don't know, like, please do it at your own discretion. You jump off a hill and you pray that your parachute will work. And then I land. I have been praying on that on top while coming down. And you land, and there is a guy with a chai kadai at the landing site. Ooh. In Bir. And so he knows that all these paragliders who've just like have seen their life flashing before their eyes, they come and they're just like, chai. And he just has this hot chai and beautiful cold Himachal. That's where I would have my chai.
So you're going to compete with him?
No, I'll help him. Why? So sad. We'll put one Parampari stand next to him.
Okay,
what to do?
Okay, Atharva.
I feel like I'm going by Kavya's chai seller idea. I need a captive audience, okay, to sell chai to.
Right.
I feel like I'll set it up at Times Square or something. Every day, every night at midnight, it'll open up on Times Square for 2 hours only for all the tourists. Because India representation abroad.
Huh. Okay. So yours is Bir Himachal. Yours very ambitiously is Times Square in New York.
That's right.
What's yours, Jim?
I think I want to take it to a place where they're traditionally coffee drinkers.
Mm. Okay.
And change them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so maybe, let's say, a Coorg maybe, or a Chikmagalur, that kind of place where they grow coffee. And obviously, coffee seems to be a large part of their lives. And I say, hey, bro, did you try tea? And maybe I'll start with tea fee.
Yeah.
And then slowly bring them towards tea.
Make it more tea and less
tea. Less tea.
Each cup has the proportions keep changing. Yeah, exactly.
Your menu is just tea fee spelled, and the amount of tea and coffee is determined by the number of E's.
All right, so that's the end of our episode for today. Thank you for tuning in and listening. If you have things to tell us, then please tell us in the comment section.
We'll be back with another episode next week. Before we say alvida, our end of show reminder to subscribe to the Radio Azim Premji University YouTube channel on platforms that you listen to your podcasts on, Apple, Spotify, etc. And on socials, on Instagram and WhatsApp.
And now, boys, we should go have a chai.
Let's go.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. This non-commercial program is for educational purposes only.